Okay, I believe we are, those that were in executive session are now back. I see Dr. Reyes, I see Dr. Stonehoff, and I see Heidi and Liz Gellman. Okay, very good. Ms. Harrison, can you unmute yourself? I think the committee, at least I have a few other questions that I'd just like some general responses to. One of them pertains to your recent disclosure that there are others in similar situation that you supervised that will have to cross out the hours that you provided here as they work towards their licensure in the state of Arizona. Is that one or two more? Is that 20 more? Do you have a sense of what that number is?
Yes, can I have 1 second to think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think what's going to happen, and just so you understand, we're probably going to ask some questions and have you respond to us in written format so that we have that, so you have time to actually provide that. We were just kind of trying to get a ballpark of what we were looking at for our own understanding. I mean, I think at least my feeling as I'm going to kind of move this into discussion is, we don't have all the information at this point. We have some additional questions. I think the additional questions that we're going to want answered from you is who, when, and for, what period you were supervising these individuals in the state of Arizona. We're going to want the frequency count on that and the duration as well. And then kind of, when your hard stops were with those, it became apparent to you that you were operating outside of the licensure laws in the state of Arizona. And so those are kind of the questions we have. But if you have an estimate that you'd like to provide us, it's non-binding at this point. We're just trying to get a sense of what we're dealing with.
Sure. So my estimation would be around 5 individuals. I started supervising after I finished my BCBA supervision requirements shortly after I graduated, which would have been roughly 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So 5 individuals in 5 years, approximately. 3 of which still work for Blossom Park and have not pursued their BCBA or their LBA. They just completed their degree. And then the other 2 were still in the ASU program at the time. And as soon as I was informed about the LBA requirement, then I stopped supervision with them and moved into, transferred that supervision role to Jessica Mattis. I'm sorry, I just forgot about 2. So actually, I think I'm at 7.
So I think with that, committee members, if it still pleases you, I will make the motion. And then I can be corrected on the motion if I'm incorrect, Ms. Galvin or Ms. Backenhorn. So I'm going to move that this matter be moved or be postponed or tabled until we can gain some further information from Ms. Harrison, from the applicant. That information, I think, needs to focus on who the individuals are that were provided supervision towards their licensure work in the state of Arizona, the time frames of which that let me back up. Those that were provided supervision while working in the state of Arizona, the time frames from which that supervision occurred for those individuals, how that supervision was provided. I think that those are the 3 main points that I would like answered in there. I think also the question that I would like in the document that'll be sent to Ms. Harrison is how and when did she become aware of the fact that she was operating outside of the licensure laws? Exact date, time, the more details around that would be appreciated. And then she's outlined today the actions she took to mitigate the issues that arose from her understanding of the licensure laws. Do you have enough to pin the letter, Ms. Backenhorn or Kathy? Board members, do you have anything else you'd like to, right? So that's my motion, that we table the matter and get information around those questions.
I would just want to clarify, she was obviously practicing supervision prior to her being licensed. Was she providing any behavior analytical services prior to being licensed?
Fair enough. So supervision or practicing as a supervision and or direct service as a behavior analyst in the state of Arizona.
Dr. Davey, I might also suggest that if there's any written communication documented when she did inform those seven-ish individuals, that that might also be included.
Yeah. The more information, the better. All right. So I think
Dr. Davey? Sorry, this is Kathy. Did you want supervision logs or any other documentation of that type where... like the BACB forms?
That can be supporting documentation. I think we're interested in the timeframes. So that may be how she provides those timeframes. So that may make sense, yes.
All right, thank you.
All right, so we've got the motion that that is going to table this matter until we gain the information that we requested, as well as any additional information that Ms. Harrison feels is pertinent. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? My discussion will just be, Ms. Harrison, the more information you can provide, the better. Obviously, the committee takes its work seriously with regard to the licensure laws in the state of Arizona. Our work here is not to seek to make this more difficult than it needs to be, but we need to have the information so that we understand the breadth of what occurred during this period of time while you were operating essentially as an unlicensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona. So the more information you can provide, the more forthcoming you can be. I would just encourage that. And then I would just say that when we put this back on the agenda, be prepared to, you know, answer our questions and to walk us through the timeline that you provide with regard to each of the individuals and your own experience through this. And so I would just encourage that. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye. All right, motion unanimously carries. Thank you very much, Ms. Harrison. Board staff will be in touch with you soon. And I will turn the reins back over to Dr. Davis-Wilson for the remainder of the meeting.
Yes, Dr. Davey. Jennifer is notifying her to rejoin. There she is. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Davey. Thank you, Ms. Harrison. You're welcome to stay, but we are going to move forward with other agenda items. We're going to now move to 5A1, Anna Ramers. Dr. Davey, you are the lead on this applicant as well. Actually, if you don't mind, Dr. Davey, we do have a couple of callers that have called in that we don't have names for. Are there any other applicants on the phone today with us? You can unmute yourself and identify yourself. Okay, hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and move forward with applicant number one, Anna Ramers. Dr. Davey, you are the lead on this applicant. If you would please provide the committee an overview.
Yes, Ms. Ramers comes forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. She has completed the application, identifying that she became a board certified behavior analyst in late August of 2019. She also holds an early childhood specialty from the Arizona Department of Education. She comes from Vanderbilt University and her subject area was applied behavior analysis in early childhood. She completed the application under my review completely. She provided information on her employment and then on her supervised experience towards certification, where she lists the Young Mind Center here in Phoenix for employment and some supervised experience towards supervision, and then also the Behavior Analysis Clinic at Vanderbilt, and that also included her supervised experience towards supervision. The applicant provided information with regard, obviously, to her transcript, and then some questions arose with regard to her supervision, which I believe were sufficiently responded to. The individual was receiving supervision in Tennessee. Tennessee does have licensure. However, there is a provision inside of Tennessee's licensure law, Tennessee Code Annotated 6311-306, Part 6, which allows certified behavior analysts that are working essentially inside of university programs to provide supervision to those in the state of Tennessee seeking a licensure, Tennessee state licensure. So there is an exemption that those particular supervisors that are operating in those capacities not be licensed, and which is the case of her of one of her supervisors in this matter. In reviewing all of the materials that were provided, I believe that the applicant as well as her supervisors have fulfilled the requirements for licensure in the state of Arizona and would move this forward for approval. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. We will also, if there are any committee members that have any questions or concerns? Hearing none, we will move to applicant number 2, Beverly Razzo. I am the lead on this applicant. Beverly Razzo passed her exam in August of 2017. She had graduated from the Chicago School for Professional Psychology in June of 2017 with a Master's of Science in Applied Behavior Analysis. She was supervised in California for a total of 1,500 hours from the periods of January 2013 to June of 2016. Ms. Razzo did identify that she was previously licensed or was licensed in the state of Nevada. I have inquired on the status of that licensure. Ms. Folks was able to obtain information from Nevada that that license is indeed expired, but has been unable to get verification on any potential disciplinary action or any pending or previous. And therefore, I would prefer that we hold this application, move it to the next meeting to allow for time for Ms. Folks to work with the Nevada Licensing Board around additional information as to why that license is expired and if there's any previous or pending disciplinary action. Any questions? Hearing none. Or comments, I suppose. Shouldn't just be questions. Hearing none, we will move to applicant number 3. That's going to be Brooke Sievet. Dr. Stenhoff, you are the lead on this application. Can you please provide us an overview?
Sure. Ms. Sievet received her BCBA in June of 2020. She graduated in May of 2019 from Arizona State University's Master of Education, focusing on applied behavior analysis. She received 1,500 hours of supervision in the state of New York under a few different supervisors who are, in fact, licensed in New York. I did not have any concerns with this application and would recommend it go forward. Are there any questions or concerns that other committee members might have?
Excellent. Hearing none, we will move to applicant number 4, Jessica Irwin. Dr. Rates, you are the lead board or lead committee member on this application. Will you please provide us an overview?
Yes. So Ms. Irwin received her BCBA certification in 2016. She received her MA from Pepperdine in July of 2014. She also completed the ABA certificate from FIT in 2015. She received supervision at two different agencies in California, Proof Positive and Behavior Frontiers, between October of 2014 and April of 2016. She had a total of 1,500 hours across three individuals, and California did not have licensure. She had, all three had active status. So I didn't note any concerns with this application, and I would recommend it move forward.
Excellent. Are there any questions or concerns from other committee members? Hearing none, we will move to applicant number 5, Lindsay Noel Campbell. Dr. Davey, you are the lead committee member on this application. Can you please provide us an overview?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Campbell comes forward seeking license to the state of Arizona. Lists that she became a board certified behavior analyst in February 28th of 2019. Also holds several other certifications in the field. They're listed under page 8, or item number 8 of the application. Individual graduated from National University under the College of Education at Sanford. She focused on applied behavior analysis there, is also currently enrolled in a psych program for clinical psychology. Individual completed the application, provided information on her employment, which occurred in California, and then also her supervised experience that occurred in California as well. We know that California does not have licensure, so active status as a BCBA is sufficient in terms of meeting supervision requirements for the state of Arizona. I did note just one item that just kind of was head scratching to me, and that is on page 13 of the PDF. This is an application for the state of Arizona, the portion that's reviewing her supervised work hours. So you will note that the dates in the very first paragraph are 101, so the January 1st, 2018 through December 1st of also 2018. And so in looking at that information for the person signing off on it, Ms. Campbell, Ms. Campbell was not eligible to supervise per the BACB's documents until 18 days after supervision occurred. So the individual on page 16, you will see under Ms. Campbell, I'm sorry, that under Ms. Hill, apologize here, make sure I'm reading this correctly, that Ms. Hill was not eligible to supervise until the 18th of January of 2018. So there's an 18-day discrepancy there, 17-day discrepancy there with regard to her ability to actually provide supervision. Again, I'm not sure, you know, the reason I bring this up is I'm not sure how many of the 814 hours occurred in those first 2 weeks. But however, the individual provides us exactly 1,500 hours in terms of her supervision. The next individual essentially provided 685.75 hours, so those two total of 1,500. This individual provided supervision to her from 6/1/18 through 1/14 of 2019, and so there's no overlap there. And so I'm just concerned about those 18 days. Again, not trying to split hairs here, but that does concern me with regard to the application. Perhaps some clarity around that, or if the individual has some additional hours, we could take those into consideration. Did any of the other board members have any questions around that, or did they note the same?
Dr. Davey, I did note the same. And I think being consistent with previous actions, I agree that we can't, it as much as it feels like it might be splitting hairs, I think we do need to move forward with a request for additional information and ask specifically either for the supervision notes that show that supervision occurred after January 18th, and maybe they just, for the purpose of the month, put in the full month period, or to show that the additional 2 weeks has been made up in some other capacity beyond that time. But I would agree that a request for additional information would be necessary.
And I'd be comfortable with either of those. Explain the 18 days or provide us with an extra, 30 hours of supervision. I mean, again, an individual obviously is certified and has the 1,500 hours, but that supervision period just did not make sense. Board staff, do we have enough to seek additional information from this applicant?
Dr. Davey, yes, I can handle that.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Then we will remove this one from the motion, please.
Excellent. Thank you. And we will look at agenda item number 6, Maria Antoinette Land. I am the lead committee on this application, so I will provide a summary. Ms. Land completed her master's of special education with behavior support emphasis from the University of Arizona in December of 2020, possibly. Completed 1500 hours in the state of Arizona. The supervision dates were from September 2018 to December 2019, and her supervisors were licensed. She passed her exam in June of 2020. And I do want to verify, is Ms. Land on the phone or joining us today? Okay. So I noted a few concerns on page number 4, item number 15. There is a discrepancy in the graduation dates and matriculation dates that do not align with the transcripts. So I did note that that will need to be changed. Additionally, for item number 12, Ms. Land does disclose that she was convicted of DUI in 2015. I have additional questions for Ms. Land and would recommend that we request Ms. Land to be present at a meeting to answer those questions before we move forward with a decision on this application, unless committee members, you have any additional comments or questions or feel different about that. No. All right, hearing none, we will go ahead and table that with the request for Ms. Land to be present at the next meeting so that we can ask her some questions regarding her application. We will now move to agenda number 8.
Madam Chair, do we also want just the administrative paperwork cleaned up where you noted those issues prior to her coming back?
Yeah, let's do that as well if we could. Thank you. All right. applicant number 8 is Michaela Sigler. And let's see here, Michaela said, I am the lead on this application, so I'll provide an overview. Ms. Sigler completed her exam in August, or passed her exam in August of 2020. She completed a master's of special education and positive behavior support from Northern Arizona University in December of 2018. She did complete supervision across 4 licensed behavior analysts in the state of Arizona. For committee members, 3 of the 4 forms were provided in the original documentation. I did reach out to Ms. Folks today because they only added up to 1,145 hours. I reached out to her and she has since uploaded a 4th form that consists of 357 hours from a licensed behavior analyst, which does put her at 1,502 hours. And so now that we do have that documentation, I've reviewed the application and I have no further concerns. If there's any questions, and I would refer it to the full board for approval. Are there any questions or comments from committee members? Hearing none, we will look at applicant number 9, Patricia Motulowicz. Dr. Raitt, you are the lead on this application. Can you please provide the committee an overview?
Yes, thank you. So Patricia received a BCBA in October of 2018. She also indicated that she is licensed as a teacher in New York City. She had a master's from Sage Colleges in August of 2016 in applied behavior analysis. She also has 2 additional masters in early childhood special education, as well as marketing. She also completed her ABA certificate at FIT in 2014 to 2015. She received supervision in New York at Important Steps between January of 15 and January of 16 for a total of 1,500 hours under a licensed behavior analyst in New York. The only note that I had for this application is there seems to be an error on question 18, where it asks if you completed your certification prior to January 1st of 2015. She's indicated yes, but if you look above on page 1, she indicated that that occurred in 18. So I think that this is simply an error. So we would want to see an edit. Outside of that, I didn't note any issues with the application.
Excellent. Any other questions or comments from committee members? Hearing none, we will move forward with Renee Mallory. Dr. Stenhoff, you are the lead committee member on this application. Can you please provide us an overview?
Sure. Ms. Mallory received her BCBA in July of 2020. She graduated in May of 2020 from the Sage Colleges with a Master's of Science in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 1,507.34 hours of supervision in the state of Colorado, which does not require a licensure requirement. And she was supervised by several supervisors, and I did not note any concerns and would recommend that move forward to the board for approval.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from committee members? Hearing none, we will now move to item number 11, Shelby Lineweber. Dr. Rates, you are the lead committee member on this applicant. Can you please provide us an overview?
Yes. Shelby received her board certification in August of this year. She also graduated with her master's from ASU in May of this year. Supervision all occurred in Colorado between August of 2018 and July of 2020 for a total of 1,500 hours. As was just stated by Dr. Stenhoff, there is no licensure law there. One issue that I did note on the application is there seems to be an error in the matriculation date for her program at ASU. She indicates that she started that program in 2019 and finished in 20. I think based on the transcripts, it was actually 18. So I think there needs to be an edit to that. And outside of that, I didn't note any other issues of concern.
Excellent. Any other comments or questions from committee members? Hearing none, I will go ahead and provide an overview. We are going to table three items. That's going to be Ms. Razzo, Ms. Harrison, and Ms. Siegler's applications pending additional information for review. We do have a request for information for Lindsay Noel Campbell pertaining to the supervision that occurred in January of 2018. We have three administrative typo issues that we want corrected. One is related to the matriculation dates and graduation dates for Ms. Siegler, the matriculation date for Ms. Lineweber, and then for Ms. Motulowicz, question number 18 regarding when she completed her hours or coursework, whatever. That would leave us with a group, Ms. Ramers, Ms. Sievet, Ms. Irwin, Ms. Maltowitz, Ms. Mallory, and Ms. Lineweber with a recommendation to full board. So do we have a motion?
I'll motion that those be moved forward to the full board.
And would you include in just a little friendly clarification that we also have the RFI for Ms. Campbell related to her 2 weeks of supervision included in that motion?
Yes, please.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Excellent. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion does carry. Board staff, do you have any questions? I know that was kind of a lot, but hopefully the summary covered it for you guys.
Dr. Davis Wilson, I do have a question about Siegler. I thought that was approved once we had the, was he, I did not hear that name in the motion.
Ms. Siegler is, I recommended that she come and attend a board meeting at the next meeting. Oh, you know what? You're correct. Ms. Sigler is approved. Ms. Land is the one that we are requesting to come present to a board meeting.
Okay.
So to clarify, can we go ahead and just do a motion for Ms. Sigler? And I'll go ahead and make it a motion to move Ms. Sigler's application to the full board for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Folks, for catching that. I think that does capture everybody then. All right. We will now move to agenda item 5B related to behavior analyst application for licensure by universal recognition. We have one applicant, Ms. Laura Darcy. Dr. Davey, you are the lead on this application. Can you please provide us an overview?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Laura Darcy, PhD, is seeking application for licensure by universal recognition as a behavior analyst in the state of Arizona. They're reviewing the rules around universal recognition. Ms. Darcy appears to have met those requirements, most notably that she's been licensed for at least 1 year in the state of Louisiana. She has been licensed there since September 12 of 2017. In reviewing the application materials, she does list that license under number 4. She does respond throughout the information or throughout her application completely. She provided information with regard to her university, which was Teacher College in Columbia, where she worked for under the Department of Health and Behavior Studies, focused on behavior analysis and then later teaching applied behavior analysis. The application, under my review, appears complete. Individual provides information about her her move to Arizona from New York, Louisiana, and therefore I have no concerns about this application at this time.
Excellent, thank you. Are there any questions or comments from other committee members? Hearing none, Dr. Davey, was that a motion? Would you like to make a motion, I suppose?
I would like to make a motion that this application be moved to the full board for approval for licensure, for universal recognition licensure.
I'll second.
Excellent, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. All right. Let's go ahead and move to agenda item number 6, discussion, consideration, and possible action on application for behavior analyst temporary license application.
Madam Chair, I was waving at you. So okay. Now that we've moved through that, you know, I wanted to just bring something to Ms. Galvin's attention since this is part of the agenda on this one. I found one thing interesting, Ms. Galvin, on this, and that was that the individual, as I stated, appears to be residing in New York, but holds the Louisiana license and use that to essentially get the universal licensure. And I read through the rules, and there doesn't appear to be any issues with that. However, New York does have licensure as well. And so it's just an interesting thing where someone holds like, for example, I'm licensed in other states besides Arizona, that an individual could be using a license where they're not necessarily the resident to then move through universal recognition. And that's the first, I mean, I know we've only seen a handful of these, but that appears to be what we're seeing here. And I just wanted to make sure that you saw that and if there was anything we needed to be aware of moving forward or looking at that you would obviously inform us. So thank you.
To get a universal recognition licensure here, you have to be a resident of Arizona or living here for a year.
No, I'm saying she actually has a Louisiana license, but it appears that she was in New York coming here. So it's, and New York has its own licensure law, but she's held that Louisiana license long enough, and it hits the requirements that we've got in statute.
Yes.
It's interesting that a license in the non-resident state was being used to come through on the universal licensure piece. But it fit the rules. It was something I just wanted to make sure you saw. And
thank you. There are some unintended consequences.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you.
And Dr. Davey, I would add to that with New York's license, just because we've ran into it before, they do have some caveats for exemptions that allow for certain behavior analysts to practice without a license. And like in their academics, I believe in their early intervention program. So they do have some caveats in there. And so it could be, I mean, obviously because it meets the requirements, but it could be that the individual falls in one of those areas. I think that the one thing to your point that captures that is that they have to be licensed in good standing for a year. So that's a pretty to want to go the universal recognition route. That's a pretty good year of planning before they can come over and do that. And so because she was licensed in Louisiana, I mean, again, just anybody in general could have moved from that state to another state, you know, maybe got into university teaching and is relocating again or what have you. But I think it's interesting to bring up and to look at. I think given how diverse the regulations are across states, it would be very difficult to pin it down. But to Ms. Galvin's point, I think that's one of the kind of concerns that have been brought forth of potential inconsistencies in standards and requirements as well. So,
yes, I have a concern. She checks all the boxes. I just found it interesting that, you know, this is one of those things that comes out from the universal licensure law that's, you know, I just wanted to bring it to the committee's attention. I have no concerns with the applicant or with the, I mean, obviously not. I already moved it forward. Just an interesting point. So thank you, Madam Chair.
I agree. All right, so we will move to item number 6, discussion, consideration, possible action on application for behavior analyst temporary license application of Paige Huff, subject to complaint number 2052. Ms. Pacnon, there is not anybody identified for this agenda item. Do you have a preference on who provides a overview?
Yes, Madam Chair, that would be me. I can summarize this for you. And again, this is an instance where this committee wouldn't normally see an application for temporary licensure when the board engaged its authority to activate ARS 32-3124 for purposes of granting temporary licensure under the declared state of emergency for COVID-19. They delegated the responsibility to board staff to process those applications. That being said, anytime an application presents with unusual information, some sort of an anomaly or departure from the requirements, we would bring it to this committee if it relates, of course, to a behavior analyst. And so that is why you're seeing this application. There is a subsection of the statute 32-3124 that stipulates the applicant may not be the subject of an unresolved complaint against that person's health professional license. In the case of Ms. Huff, she has applied for licensure, a full license here in Arizona, and she is, we understand she's in the process of fulfilling those requirements. However, concurrently, we have received and opened an investigation concerning Ms. Huff. It is in the investigative stage, and it will probably be presented to this committee later this year, but it is at this time unresolved. So what we have is a temporary application that staff was reticent to take any action on without the review and recommendation of this committee, given the circumstances with the unresolved complaint. I've identified some possible courses of action for you in the memorandum, and these were gathered from our discussions with Ms. Galvin. Ms. Galvin may want to provide additional advice relative to this matter. Ms. Huff was notified that the committee would be reviewing this today, and I am not sure if she is present. But if she is, I'm sure the committee would invite her to speak to this matter.
Thank you. Ms. Huff, are you on the phone? If you are, you may unmute yourself. Hearing nothing, we will move into discussion. Are there any questions or comments from committee members?
My only comment is, like, in looking at the list, I mean, why would we take this up without the outcome of the investigation? I'm very uneasy not knowing what's going on there, and our primary charge is to protect the public. And so I for one, see no path forward until we have the investigation and the information around Complaint 2052 in front of us.
I agree. I think one of the things, Dr. Davey, that we often do is, so what I think is important to note is that this individual became licensed in Texas in January of this year. So the temporary licensure, really, the concerning part for me is that the individual was notified prior to that date that they would not be eligible in licensure here in Arizona. And so I'm concerned about kind of the approach to kind of getting into that process. However, I think that in many of these circumstances, we, you know, one option that we have also acted on in the past is if someone doesn't meet it or we're not comfortable, we also give options for withdraw. And so I agree that before we take a stance of denial, I would want additional information as well, to make sure that we have a clear understanding of what it is that we're kind of dealing with regards to the complaint, with regards to the individual's current practice in the state, and all of that. So I would agree with tabling any action on the application, informing the applicant that they are not licensed and therefore should not be practicing in the state of Arizona with proper supervision. I would also be interested in additional information in addition to the complaint, and maybe it'll come out as part of the complaint, in who is currently providing that individual for their practice, that individual supervision for their practice here in Arizona, and what is that relationship.
I'm sorry. I am here. I could not figure out how to unmute it, but I am here.
That's okay. Thank you, Ms. Huff, for joining us and for unmuting us. I'll go ahead. I'm going to ask, well, let's go ahead and since you have the opportunity to kind of make a statement, if you would like to make a statement, you are welcome to do so. We would welcome that, and then we'll move back into kind of deliberation with the committee members.
Okay, yeah. I currently own Adventure ABA with Dylan Huff, who's my husband, and I mainly do billing and administrative side. I've been an RBT and a BCABA in Arizona for a while, since 2016, I want to say. And I had gotten a supervisor in Texas who completed my hours. So I completed a lot of hours. I completed 1,500 for my BCABA or 1,000 for my BCABA. And I've completed hours under another BCBA who is not licensed in Texas. And when I went to submit my application, she kind of dropped off of the face of the planet and told me, you know, of all these requirements, which, you know, I wasn't aware of at the time. So I currently have a supervisor who is a supervisor or a LBA in Arizona. Her name is Samantha Lemons. And I'm actually finishing up the rest of my hours this next month for like an actual application. But during this process, it's just been trying to figure out how to get my hours, make sure I'm doing everything ethically. And so keeping a small caseload for myself while maintaining an administrative duty like position, which is why the complaint is here too. And so I guess I think that answers your questions. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say with that, but I am getting my hours at least now by a supervised BCBA or LBA, sorry.
Excellent, thank you. So I appreciate some of that clarification. What I'll do now is ask the committee members, do you have any questions specifically for Mrs. Huff? I have just a couple. Ms. Lemons does not work for the company that you own, correct?
She's like a contract BCA. She basically she's been my supervisor for a while, so she did my BCABA hours. So she just came back on and supervised me. So she's a contracted BCBA through Adventure ABA.
For the purpose of providing just your supervision, or does she provide additional services to your organization?
Just my supervision and my clients with me.
And so my other question is pertaining, just so that I'm clear. So your current employer has retained an outside supervisor to supervise you currently. And then you did 1,000 hours under Ms. Lemons, who was licensed for those 1,000 hours, but then you retained a supervisor for the additional 500 out of Texas.
Yeah, so Ms. Lemons did about, I want to say it's 460 hours of my BCABA, and then I had Saba Bagar, who has not contacted me back about the other hours that I did during my BCABA, so I just decided to redo the hours under an LBA, and I thought that was the best decision just because I didn't even know if my BCABA hours would count, so I just worked with Sam, and I asked her, since I knew she was licensed and I knew she practiced in Arizona still partly.
Okay. And so then Saba did the other 1,100 or so hours, correct? But you're redoing those because you've been unable to reach her.
She did the rest of my BCABA, which at the time the requirements were 1,000 hours, I want to say. And so she did 600 hours. And so then when I was getting my BCBA is when I had Brandy as my supervisor. And she was the one who was in Texas. And so she was the one who did my 1,500 hours for my BCBA.
And Brandy was not licensed in Arizona?
No. Okay.
Dr. Davey?
I just would like a clarification on the individual providing your supervision currently. Is that individual strictly a contractor just for the supervisory services?
Yes, and she collaborates with some other stuff ethical. Like, I collaborate with her a lot, obviously with my supervision too, but a lot of transitions of clients or, introducing new clients or training RBTs, stuff like that. She kind of helps me with that, but that's about it for the company.
So she doesn't have any clients assigned to her at this time?
No, and neither do I really.
And I'll tell you why I'm concerned. I'm concerned because under standards of supervision experience, under our statutes, C clearly states that was not related, subordinate to, or employed by the supervisee during a period of supervised experience. Employment does not include payment made to the supervisor by the supervisee for supervisory services. And so that is where my concern lies in understanding that this individual is not subordinate to you and is strictly there to provide those supervision services to you.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's more of a mentor, I guess, because I've just worked with her for so long. So she helps with all of that. It's not like she's employed. She's seeing all these clients and she works for the company. It's more contracted supervision for me to get my hours done, which I have a contract and everything too.
Thank you.
And Ms. Huff, the payment structure on that is as a 1099 contractor and not as an employee.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions for Ms. Huff? All right. Hearing none, Ms. Huff, what we're going to do now is go into deliberation.
I have one other question. Ms. Huff, are you currently seeing clients as a BCBA in Arizona through Adventure ABA?
No, I'm mainly through administrative. I've been working more on like RBT stuff with Sam, just trying to make sure that I'm not breaking any of the rules, but also still getting our client time. So then I also see a lot of Sam's clients with her to get my hours.
Thank you.
All right. Any further questions? All right. Hearing none, Ms. Huff, what'll happen now is we're going to go into deliberation. This is going to be just a time in which the board's discussing. So you are welcome to listen. However, the participation will just be the committee members. So okay. Thank you. And thank you very much for answering our questions. We greatly appreciate that.
I'm sorry. I didn't know how technology works.
That's okay. I appreciate you chiming in. All right. Committee members. I mean, my stance still kind of remains that temporary licensure or any application status while a pending complaint is being investigated for me still means that we need to resolve that complaint or at least have an understanding of that complaint before moving forward. Are there any additional thoughts or comments related to that?
Should we just make that into a motion?
If you would like to.
Then I motion that we table this application until we have additional information regarding a complaint, I believe 2052, and then we will revisit this matter.
I'll second.
Excellent. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? I have one just general comment related to some of Ms. Huff's answers, specifically related to supervisors being non-responsive. I know that this is something that's come up in the past, but the board has, the committee and the board have both made some changes to the rules to allow for those BACB documents to be used to supplement in the event that a supervisor is non-responsive. And I think it's important to bring that up because I think it's unfortunate that a lack of response from any supervisor is resulting in additional payment for additional hours. Having said that, I think having additional hours and paying for an outside mentor is you know, a best practice. I think we should all be doing it all of the time. So I think there's, you know, no harm there. But I do want to just mention that and mention specifically that there are there on the BACB side, there are ways in which an individual can go about contesting their supervisor for that lack of response. And so I think that that is just something, you know, kind of on the theme of when we talk about supervision by non-licensed supervisors and how problematic that is for supervisees, because then they have to redo their hours and the supervisees are practicing without a license. I think equally concerning is having licensed supervisors who are non-responsive to requests. So I just wanted to make that comment, and maybe it's something we can have further discussion on in future agenda items. All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion does carry. Ms. Huff, thank you again for joining us. And what we'll do is we'll let the board staff kind of work through the complaint process. And as the complaint is seen by the board, we welcome you to come back so that we can carry on these conversations and review all of the information to make an adequate decision for you. So, all right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. How is everybody doing? I know it's been about an hour and a half. Is there anybody in need of a comfort break before I move on to the next agenda item? Good. All right. I will go ahead then and move to item number 7, which should be the next few will go pretty quick, I think. Item number 7, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recent updates from the Behavior Analyst Certification Board. Ms. Pakanon, if you would please provide us an overview.
Yes, Madam Chair. Just one very brief update. The BACB is collecting information from jurisdictions who license BAs relative to how they are approaching what's called fair chance licensing, or in other words, creating or defining or exploring pathways to licensure for individuals who have a criminal history. And so as you would, I think, expect me to do, I did provide some Arizona-based input. And I am looking forward to what the BACB reports back out to us with respect to what the other states are doing. I think that that would be informative in some ways to this committee and ultimately to the board. So I appreciate that they are investing some time in this issue. And that's the only update that I have, or that they've issued.
Excellent, thank you. Are there any questions or comments regarding the matter, or questions for board staff? Hearing none, we appreciate that update. And I really appreciate the BACB continuing to send those updates to regulatory agencies, because there was a time where getting that information relied on committee members forwarding newsletters to board staff. So it's very nice that not only are you getting the information, but you're getting it ahead of time while they're thinking about things so that you can be aware. So that's kudos to them for helping us out in that area. Number eight, we'll move on to number eight now, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding licensure and regulatory issues relative to COVID-19. Ms. Pakanon, do you have any updates?
Just very briefly, nothing has been issued from the Department of Administration or the Governor's Office, which is where I think small agencies like this one would look for some sort of guidance. Some agencies are sort of gradually transitioning back to business as usual relative to employees in the office, tentatively scheduling some public meetings, albeit with some restrictions. So it may be that this board decides to sort of wait and take the temperature of others before making any decisions. That being said, of course, the most recent informal conversation that this board had on this topic was that there are several board members who would either have to seek permission to come back to an in-person meeting, and some stated they would be entirely uncomfortable in doing so. Of course, we have technology to accommodate anyone who needs to be. So at this point, I think it's just a matter of waiting to see if any guidance or any direction comes to us from anywhere. But in the meantime, we're in the same holding pattern that we have been. I'll acknowledge we're working through some administrative, some challenges with respect to staff functions. We're only as good sometimes as what our IT resources permit us to be, and we've experienced some real challenges recently. But that being said, I'm not aware of any plans to direct the agencies or have the agencies resume operations as they were back in February and prior to that.
Excellent. Thank you. And I know for the committee that doesn't affect us too much, because we were predominantly phone attendance anyway. I personally still enjoy the Zoom over the phone. I think it's much easier to kind of move through the meetings. So I appreciate your updates on that. Real quick, since it's along the same lines, if we could go to agenda item 14, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding current public meetings and public safety orders. Ms. Pakanon, do you have any updates related to that?
Madam Chair, I don't. I was actually contemplating removing this from the agenda just and putting it back on the agenda if it became an issue again, or if there was some sort of event that precipitated having this discussion. That being said, we're sort of entering a possible volatile period in our history with an election approaching and so forth. So it may be that this becomes a topic that we need to revisit again.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that. I would be I agree that it probably is safe to come off, but I'm wondering if we should do it post November 4th. maybe go ahead and keep it on October just in case, because I do know that there are some cities that are already putting procedures in place to prepare for November 4th. And I believe many of them are preparing through November 15th. At a city level for safety and ordinances, and we may see curfews and other things at city levels that we're starting to hear rumblings about. I know, having a husband that works for the town, I know that there's rumblings in his town, and there's also pretty significant changes that they're making to town employees' work schedules already. That will take them through about November 10th, 11th-ish, if not through the 15th. So maybe we just keep it on one more time just in case it comes up. Like I said, it I think we are entering just a very unique time in our history. I was a little bit pleased to see, I think there was there was some issues that came up last week on a national level that were troublesome that I didn't hear too much on a state level became any safety concerns, which is nice to hear as it pertains to this particular topic. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we're smooth sailing through the rest of the year. But I think with the upcoming election, I would be very surprised to not hear any guidance from state officials going into November. So perhaps keeping it on until then. And beyond that, I agree. I don't know that it's necessary to keep on.
Certainly, Madam Chair. And, you know, given our proximity to the Capitol building, we're certainly in the perimeter that would be of some concern.
Absolutely. And I think the other issue and concern to just kind of be aware of going into all of this, And in any election year, I think it's very similar, but we start to run into some of the cybercrime increases as well. And so it's not just our safety being near the Capitol, but also safety and information that's being passed on the internet in meetings like these, those sorts of things. So it'll be an interesting couple of months to see how that kind of pans out. But I do think that or I'm hopeful that everything goes smoothly, and hoping that even the cyber stuff isn't an issue, but I'm sure as it comes up, we will hear about it.
Oh, most certainly. I do attend at least once a week an IT briefing on cybersecurity issues. It's not my favorite thing that I ever do, but it is informative, and anything that, you know, needs to be passed on within the agency, I share that. So it's definitely an ongoing topic.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Committee members, do you have any other questions, comments, thoughts related to the matter? Excellent. And are you guys okay with us keeping it on, you know, maybe just through the election? And then if it's smooth sailing, we can go ahead and remove it. Excellent. Thank you. All right. Let's look at agenda item number 9, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding committee vacancy. Ms. Pakanon, do you have an update for us?
It's on the agenda in the event that I did, in my perpetually optimistic way, but unfortunately, no, I don't have an update. I requested one Wednesday afternoon and have not received an update. So I will press on with the advisory that we may have some imminent quorum concerns. So perhaps this could be accelerated, this process could be accelerated for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a mini panic attack with the first draft email because I didn't see Dr. Stenhoff's name, or the first draft agenda, I didn't see Dr. Stenhoff's name. And I was like, we're going to run into quorum issues with any recusals. So I appreciate you moving forward with kind of pressing that and pushing. I have heard through the grapevine that there's been additional applicants go forward, and so I don't know if that's muddied some water of the review or what have you, but hopefully they get a candidate. Like I said, I think we were right towards the end of a candidate just ready to go, so hopefully Hopefully we get something. All righty. Any other questions or comments related to that agenda item? Perfect. Hearing none. Just to put you on the spot again, Ms. Pacnon, just to wrap it up, if we could just cover number 13 real quick, the discussion, consideration, and possible action on draft request to the Association of State of Provisional Psychology Boards to permit CBA member attendance at the 2020 annual meeting.
Yes, Madam Chair, and this is on the agenda only for purposes of having any discussion this committee would like to have relative to this event. It's probably something that committee members, those not serving on the board, concurrently on the board, maybe, you know, sort of an unfamiliar sort of opportunity, so we can talk about it if we need to. But as we learned late last week, by email, that the ASPBB Board of Directors did approve all members of this committee registering for this meeting. They really needed to ascertain some very fine distinctions about, you know, the committee and the board's relationship and so forth. So finally, they had the clarity they needed so they could make the decision that they did. So since I was out of town when we received the news, I asked Jennifer to relay that to you. And as soon as possible, if you haven't already informed me that you would like me to get you registered, I want to do that. There's a confirmation process, and you know, we sort of have to send you a password. And so, you know, I want to make sure we don't save that until the 11th hour, where it's a little bit difficult to participate. Jennifer sent you the agenda. You know, I can answer questions you might have about the agenda, or refer you to someone at ASPPB who would be better to address that than me. It's just really what it does is, it, as we've discussed, it presents a rare opportunity for this group to participate in regulator training, which doesn't exactly exist within the national organizations that play some role in your profession. So that is why I have this on the agenda for questions and discussion.
Absolutely. And I could also probably review the CEU standards from the BACB, but I do believe that attendance, even though it wouldn't be a type two CEU by an ACE provider, I do believe that attendance in some capacity will count, as it is learning something specific to your practice. And because you guys do sit on the committee, there would be some language. There's definitely language in the current rules for the psychology board specific to the type three, which says that you can attend something that is along the lines, but maybe not by an ACE provider. So you would be able to count them towards the CEUs towards the licensing CEUs. And so just if that's an added incentive. And then I had the opportunity of going to an in-person meeting when I first got on the committee. And it was a lot, and a lot of it was kind of over my head in the moment, but I can't express enough how grateful I was for that opportunity to kind of hear what other states were doing and start listening to just the language that they're using and you know, the different regulatory things that I had no idea about until I was able to attend that meeting. I did let Ms. Michelson know that I will not be able to attend the meeting, which I'm very, very bummed about, because I think it being virtual and having this opportunity for everybody to attend is amazing. I just can't wrap my brain around committing, spending the money, and then delivering a baby all at the same time. So I will be passing up on it, but I hope that other committee members do consider attending. And because it is virtual, obviously you can attend at your own comfort and schedule as well. All right. Any other?
Madam Chair, you need to suck it up. What do you mean you can't commit to attending a committee, having a baby, raising two children, running a household, running a company? I mean, come on. Where are your priorities, woman?
I know. I should just show up, rain or shine. I'll turn the Zoom video off if I'm actually in the hospital delivering a baby.
You gotta suck it up. Just for Dr. Reyes and Dr. Sinoff, I will be attending. I actually got my badge inadvertently the other day, and then they told us to I don't know if you guys got that email. You may have, Diana. But I will be attending. It does seem just like a great opportunity for us to learn and to kind of be brought up to speed on what's going nationally and to help us as a committee move forward.
Absolutely. And I have one other question with that, Ms. Pacman or Ms. Galvin, maybe you guys know. If so, I know in the statute there's requirements for board members, not committees, but board members to have a certain amount of education and in regulatory training. I'm curious if that starts from appointment or if that's something that if, let's say, a committee member, like what Dr. Stenhoff or Dr. Rates, decided to put in to be a board member in, you know, at a later time, would any of those count towards that training or probably not? They'd probably have to do it post-appointment?
My understanding is that once that you are appointed to a board.
Yeah, that I would figure as much, but I was just curious.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice.
Excellent. All righty. Well, thank you guys. Dr. Stenhoff, Dr. Rates, Dr. Rates, did you guys have anything else to add?
No.
Excellent. Hearing none. I'm still good moving forward if you guys are, but if we need a comfort break, I'm okay with that as well. You guys good?
Let's get this done. Let's go.
Excellent. All right, let's go to agenda item number 10, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding differences between the BACB maintenance of certification requirements and the Board of Psychologist Examiners continuing education requirements. Ms. Pacman, if you could provide us an overview, but before you do, I actually wanted to make one observation as well. Is that we have now at the last two committee member meetings, we've had these agenda items on our agenda, and we have had board members from ASIABA in attendance. However, by the time we get to them, like I just looked right now at participants, they're no longer in attendance. I'm wondering if it would be helpful. I don't know why, like, I don't know if they've communicated to you guys if they're attending for these agenda items, but I wonder a couple of things. We don't really have a call to the public on this particular agenda. I'm wondering if they're attending for these items and if there's a way, if that is the case, if they can communicate to you guys or if we can invite, just inform them that they're welcome to communicate to you guys so that we can plan the agenda accordingly. Because like I said, this has been the second time they've been on the call, but then they've dropped off the call by the time we get to these items. And so, I mean, they have the option, of course, to listen to past meetings or what have you, but I don't know if they know that they could inform us that they're attending for the purpose of certain agenda items, and whether or not we change how we do things is, you know, up for grabs, but I just wanted to make sure that they were aware of that.
Yes, Madam Chair, and I think my thinking on these two topics, which are closely related, is I think it's aligning with yours, at least to some degree. What I've done is I have dutifully put these on the agenda because at one point in time in the past, the committee said, well, we'd like to tackle these subjects. And so, you know, we never really know if there's time or appetite, frankly, to even start the discussion on these. These are probably going to cross-cut maybe a few meeting agendas. Moments ago, I was contemplating making a recommendation that if this committee is willing, we have a special meeting dedicated to discussing CE and rules revisions. Those topics relate together so closely. And in the process, we could do that more overt overture to the leaders of the profession and say, look, you know, I know it's difficult for you to carve out time to listen to this committee, especially when applications and complaint reviews take a while. So if we just scheduled a 90-minute meeting or what have you at a special time and invite you to provide your input at that time, maybe that's how we tackle these topics.
I would I would be in support of that for two reasons. One, we actually have a rule. We actually have a portion of our rule that requires us to include them in these discussions and or to make reasonable attempts to include them. And so I think because, again, I'm making an assumption. I have not spoken to any of the board members, but I'm thinking because they've been attending the last two meetings at the start and then dropping off, I'm curious if that would be a good connection for us to continue our due diligence in working with them. And then that would apply to items 10 and 11, maybe potentially doing a special meeting, inviting stakeholders as we would, and carving out that time so that they don't have to sit and wait and then be like, man, we missed it again. I think last week we ran out of time anyway, so we postponed the issue. But I would hate for them to get frustrated when they're trying after we had several requests for them to try. And now they're trying, and I would hate for them to get frustrated and give up. So I would be in support of that. And as such, I would suggest tabling both 10 and 11 for a special meeting, scheduling that special meeting. And as a reminder for both of those, we have plenty of time. We have we're not moving quick on these because, I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen with next legislative session. We don't know when they're going to start looking at when we're able to even propose these rule changes. We've got some statutory stuff that has to happen before the rule changes. So we've got plenty of time. I would be in support of maybe working on working with committee members on scheduling a date, perhaps even into the beginning of next year to get us past the holidays and kind of the craziness and hopefully get us a fifth committee member because their input as a new member could be very valuable. I wonder if that would...
Do we have to make that into a motion to do that, or can we just make that happen?
I think we can just make the move. I think we can just move it. And so, if we could look at maybe a January-ish or January-February special meeting on these two topics, invite the stakeholders to join us, and then that'll get us past babies and holidays and all the other crazy, hopefully COVID restrictions and all the other crazy stuff that's happening. Maybe we can even meet in person and all sit around it, you know, and do it that way. Who knows? But that would be my suggestion on both of those agenda items.
Yes, and Madam Chair, I think one other potential advantage is that by December, we should have clarity whether our committee, our board, or any other state agency for that matter will be afforded an opportunity to make policy recommendations for change. We're all preparing for the next legislative session and future rulemaking efforts to be in a normal context. And I don't know that we can necessarily make that assumption, but perhaps by December, we will know if we should even be spending time having these kinds of discussions or if they will be squelched before, you know, we even begin.
I like it.
I like that idea. And I think, I think that'll give them good. They'll also have new leadership coming in at that point too. So that'll be a good transition as well. Sweet. All right. Then let's move on to, unless anybody has any other questions or comments. Hearing none, let's move to agenda item 12, discussion, consideration, and possible action on draft revisions to the behavior analyst application for licensure. Ms. Folks, would you like to provide us an overview?
Yes. Previously, at previous meetings, there had been discussion regarding adding an additional question, which regarding, were any of the supervision hours that the applicant is applying towards licensure, were they supervised by a faculty member of the graduate program? And then if so, please provide the name of the professor and the number of hours. And a similar question was the committee had wanted to add to the verification form. I had emailed committee members a copy of the draft application last month, If you do not have it, it is uploaded to the site. If you don't see it, you may need to refresh the material site and see it at the bottom of the list. So this is available for you to discuss and draft any changes that you would like to make.
All right, I was able to find it when I refreshed. So, what we are looking at.
I was just going to say that, I'm sure. Is this something we can take a look at and come back to the next meeting with edits, or is this?
We could. My only thought.
We have that changes. Like, we've been through this so many times, but.
Yeah, my only thought and concern with it is that this was provided to us to make those comments before. I mean, if we need additional time, I'm fine with that.
I just didn't get to it. I'll just say that I just did not have a chance to review it with the other materials, and also with prepping for the board for later this week. Like, it just did not happen. So I'm willing to fall on the sword and say I probably need some time to review it.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Ms. Folks, there's nothing super pressing in it. It was a request that we made for you guys to make the edits. There's nothing that's preventing you or causing hardship to you in the application reviews, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
There is one thing I'd like to bring up, if it's okay, that I had thought of in the interim since last month. If you could open it, look at 5 and 6. One of the biggest issues that comes up for me, that you don't always see because I get it corrected ahead of time, but you still probably see it sometimes. BAs from states that don't offer licensure mix up state licensure and BACB certification, or BCBA, sorry. I'd like to ask for your consideration as you review this to reverse those two questions so that the BCBA question comes up first and then the license afterwards.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Get them to write down their certification and then, And you've highlighted 5 for us, I can see that.
Yeah, I adjusted some of the language there for you to consider, also trying to help applicants understand the difference.
Yeah, I don't see any issue with that whatsoever. That makes a lot of sense.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. And I'm fine with postponing the review to the next meeting, so long as, like I said, I want to make sure that there's nothing else for you.
If I'm the only one that didn't get to it, like, I don't want a whole conversation. Like, I can do it while you guys are talking.
Well, I think that it doesn't matter to me either way. Dr. Rates, Dr. Senhoff, what are you?
You are not alone, Dr. Davey. I would love to have a little additional time as well.
If you have any sword left, I'd like to fall on that as well.
It's just the paperwork's killing me. Heidi's killing me on the big board meeting. It's just, and you too, Diane, I know. Hey, Kathy, I see you've also highlighted 20. Is there a particular reason around that one as well that you'd like to discuss with us?
No, that was the additional question for the committee to consider. That's okay. Been added. It is not on the current application that's in use right now. That's the new question.
And that one's specific to the conversations that we had around the university professors signing off on hours, so that we could have a look, because the concern that we had with that particular issue is that there's not a lot of equality and quality across programs, and there's some concern around practicum advisors or practicum instructors signing off on hours when they're not licensed, they're not really overseeing work, and maybe they're just assigning material making or something to the student and we're not getting adequate reflection of appropriate 1500 hours. So that was pertaining to that conversation that we had with FIT and the Chicago School as a potential way for us to capture some of those issues.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate another couple weeks to review that. And I don't suspect that I'm going to have substantial changes, but I'll at least read it and go through it for you.
Yeah, I'm good with that as well. And hopefully we won't have a million applications every month, because I think that's I think that's what's taken up a lot of our time. No, actually, I think it's a great thing, because I remember a day when there was 20 of us in the state. And so the need to get professionals practicing in the state in this area is huge. So all right, then I think that that's a good call. We'll move number 12 to a future agenda item. If you guys want to mark up what she has or provide suggestions, that would be great. If anything super glaring, I don't know, Ms. Folks, if you want us to reach out to you before the meeting so you can make the change, or if you just want to go over it in the meeting.
It's up to you, whatever you prefer. If you want to see the changes ahead of time uploaded, I can do that as well. It's up to you.
Yeah, it makes no difference to me. I think just committee members, if you have thoughts and you want to make note of them, great. If they're minor and you want to just bring them to Ms. Folks' attention, she'll get us a final version before the meeting, final draft version. All right. Let's go ahead and move to item number 15, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding committee authority to open investigation when allegations of possible unprofessional conduct are present in an existing investigation. Ms. Pacnon, did you want to provide an overview?
Yes, I can, Madam Chair. So this request precipitated from some preliminary questions, possibly some concerns from a complaint you heard very recently, where in the process of reviewing the investigative record, the members had identified perhaps even a possibility that there may be some allegations of unprofessional conduct committed by other licensees. And so there are no written materials associated with this agenda item, because what this amounts to is really a request for legal advice from Ms. Galvin relative to what options or what authority does this committee have when, again, viewing materials in the course of the investigation, questions or concerns arise relative to, in this case, other licensed behavior analysts.
I need to unmute myself first. I would like to motion to go ahead and go into executive session for the purpose of legal advice from Ms. Galvin on this agenda item.
I'll second.
Excellent. All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Aye. We're the only ones in. Do you have to move us since we're the only ones here?
We're still in the public portion of the meeting.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I would hate. All right. We are now back in regular session. Is there any other discussion related to item number 15? I believe that it was just an agenda item to seek legal advice. We've gotten the legal advice. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none. We will now move to agenda item number 16, new agenda items for the future meetings. I do have, I made a note when we were listening to agenda item number 6 about, again, potentially a discussion around the maybe review of statutory requirements and or rule regarding the supervisor's response to inquiries from the supervisees. I think my assumption is that it goes, I believe the statute refers specifically to the response from board staff. So I don't know if it's a matter of board staff then reaching out to those supervisors and saying, hey, I don't even know, but maybe potentially seeing what we can do regarding, because this isn't the first time it's come up that a licensed behavior analyst has been non-responsive in any requests from a supervisee. And so I really haven't looked into any considerations to what can be done about that or if anything can be done about that. But I did make a note of that. We can add it or we cannot. I don't care either way. Does anybody have any preference one way or another? Hearing none. I guess let's just wait and see if it comes up again. And if it does, maybe we'll address it then. The other agenda item that I have is pertinent to the complaint. And I apologize. I don't know if Ms. Pacnon, you have the complaint number more readily available, but pertinent to the complaint that we reviewed last month for licensed behavior analyst Brian Schaefer, we did request additional information regarding two supervisors. We have received that information, and I would like for that to be reviewed at a future committee meeting so that we can make a determination as to whether or not the committee wishes to refer to the full board a potential opening of a complaint on one, if not two, potential licensed behavior analysts in review of our documentation.
That request is noted, Madam Chair, and will be on a future agenda. And for reference, that was for complaint 21-01 for Brian Ramirez in regards to two other potential LBAs.
Yep. And that'd be Brian Schaefer, correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. And so we will work with board staff on any agenda notice information, specific names or any of that stuff. We'll work with board staff to make sure everything's noticed appropriately. But we would, I would like to see that conversation come up at the next meeting. Other agenda items. All right, hearing none, then we can go ahead and move to agenda item 17. That will be for adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
All motion we adjourn.
Excellent.
A second.
Dr. Reitz seconds. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion has carried and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. See you guys.
Have a good week. Forget it's not Friday.
You too.